This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. We've got another hour of old-time radio for you today. We do every Tuesday. We'll begin this time with Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall in Bold Venture. The episode we'll hear is We Want Carrie Martin. This one aired June 18th, 1951. Then Believe It or Not brings us Strange Army. We'll finish off with The Green Hornet and The Unexpected Meeting, their episode from August 23rd, 1945.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Now, that doesn't do it either, sailor. That was a two-motored plane. Your boy is 2 hours late.
Oh, Carrie will get here. You don't have to worry about him.
I'll tell you a secret. I've spent my whole life not worrying about Carrie.
You like him. Where do you meet him?
Blonde, wavy hair and wears a white silk scarf. Is his mustache blonde, too?
No mustache. I showed you his picture.
Well, there was a mustache in that picture someplace.
Just Carrie Martin in his plane. Here, look, I brought it along. Hey, you drew a mustache on him.
Yeah, and a beard, too.
Does it bother you because I knew a man named Carrie Martin before I knew you?
Because he sent you a wire from Miami to meet you at a crummy airstrip outside of Havana. Because I had to get up too early and drive you too far.
I told you last night you didn't have to come along. But this morning there was a Jeep waiting for me, and you were in it.
Because the last time you drove the Jeep, you came home with the wrong Jeep. The time before that...
Hey, you two there. What are you doing here?
Hello?
I asked you a question. What are you doing here?
Believe it or not, we're waiting for an airplane. What are you waiting for?
Get out of here.
We like it here. We'll have to settle down right here.
I don't know who you are, but my company has leased this airstrip, and I have full authority.
Here comes a plane, Slate.
That's four-motored. Your friend's is a single-engine job.
I can't understand it. Something must have happened.
I don't want to have to talk to you two again.
Now, take it easy, mister. We're going, not because you say so. Sailor's worried. She might want to cry. She doesn't like anyone to watch.
Spot him yet, Mickey?
Nope. Take her up another 1,000. We can use that cloud for a blanket.
Yeah. Like the gay old times, huh, Mickey?
Better. That was for glory. This is for getting rich.
A $500,000 payroll floating in the sky like a little bird. Just waiting for us to knock it off.
And Anderson promised us the drumsticks. 20 grand's worth. A man could get fat chewing on a thing like... Haze off your wing, Joe. 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Make a pass. Scare him. I'll signal we want him to land on that island.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he won't play. Carrie Martin's a hero.
I've got something for heroes.
In the wing, Joe. We don't want to kill him. Just keep him and his plane on ice.
You left out the part about the $500,000. Like you asked, in the wing.
Ah, the boy's good to us, Joe. He's going to belly lander on the beach.
Hip, hip, and a hooray. The hero made it. Now we go to Havana, boy, and report to Anderson.
Roger, Wilco, and stuff like that there. You think anyone will find him, Mickey, before
Not anyone, kid. Just us. That scrap of beats is not even on the charts. It's our secret.
Goody. Hey, look at that ocean below us, Mickey. Gorgeous, huh? Hey.
What's the matter, kid? Motor gone sour?
Both of them. Must be out of gas. They're coking out on me. It's a... Hey, Mickey, what? Oh, we had it in our hands and we're gonna...
Come here, sailor.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
I'm tired of it. We've been running around in circles for half a day just because a sailor on a passing steamer reported he saw a plane crash in this vicinity. Harry Martin means this much to you, huh?
I met him in Europe, Slate. He was shot down. I helped him. He needed me once. A woman doesn't have many opportunities like that.
Okay, we'll keep looking.
Thanks. Slate, look over there to starboard. Is that a wave crest in the sun, that thing shining?
I don't know.
That's metal. It's a wing.
Yeah, it could be.
It's a wing, Slate.
Let's take a closer look, huh? Hey, wait.
What?
Carey flew his own plane when he left Miami, and it's a single engine. That's what the telegram said.
I don't understand what you're trying to say.
But this wing has a nacelle where it housed an engine. That means it was a two-engine job. It can't be Carey's plane.
Maybe it's an old wreck.
Uh-uh. Wrecked planes don't float that long.
Maybe Carey's alive.
Can't look any more, sailor. Our fuel is low. We've got to let the authorities know about this wreck.
A little while longer.
Something's wrong here, but I'll promise you this. If Carey's alive, we'll find him. Got your motor, sailor. Slip her in easy.
Aye, aye.
And now throw me a line. I'll make her fast.
Line.
All secure. Bring the chart I drew, sailor.
You didn't find him, did you?
Huh? Oh. Look what's here to welcome us home, sailor. The man who orders people off his airstrip. Look, Buster.
This one's on me, Slate. You, get your feet off our pier. And take your mustache with them.
You must forgive me for my behavior at the landing field. I was the victim of a grave concern. I didn't know then, Miss Duval, how intimate you were with Carey Martin.
You know, you've got a talent for saying the wrong thing. Not intimate. Just a boy I knew once. I give you that to make the goodbye easier.
You're getting off cheap. And now, goodbye.
Now, please, you must hear me out. I'm John Anderson, resident manager for the Toledo Canneries. That boy was flying in a $500,000 payroll. You hear? $500,000.
Was he now? Go cry on your insurance agent, then both your stomachs can flutter together.
Toledo Canneries is ready to pay any price you ask to find Martin, within reason, of course.
You want the boy or the money? And why do I ask a stupid question when I know the answer?
Oh, you underestimate our humanity, Miss Duval. We want Carey Martin. He was a loyal employee, intrepid. A man of know-how.
You finally think of the right answer, and then you go and spoil it. Intrepid know-how.
We learned from the authorities the plane you found wasn't Martin's. Continue your search. Find him. And we will show our gratitude in any manner you wish. Within reason.
We'll search for him. We'll find him. But not for any reason you'd understand. Take that back to your company. Maybe they can put it up in cans.
I would have preferred that, just notify me when you do, please. Goodbye, you two.
Take me home, Slate.
Sure, I'll have King fix you something special. It'll make you feel better.
Over here, Anderson. The two suckers bite?
It's a mission with them, Matt. A grail.
Huh? Talk down to me because I'm stupid.
Oh, they'll find him for me. For nothing. All you do is go where they go. I'll arrange it.
And put a $500,000 in your lap, huh? For that, you'd do something for me, huh?
I've already told you. 2,000. Not a penny more.
Nah, not money, stupid. Just a word that says I can kill them when I'm through with them.
Hmm. I like you, Matt. You can kill them.
Thank you very much, Mr. Anderson.
Miss Saylor, she had a friend so true, a man who went in the yonder so blue. In a flying machine he had no fears, on account of this drove Miss Saylor to tears. This man he swooped from Miami to see Miss Saylor flying Romeo he, but he didn't arrive, hasn't done it yet. Now Miss Saylor, she worry and fret.
Yeah, that about sums it up, King.
Where's Miss Saylor now, Mr. Slate?
On the patio, worrying and fretting.
You go look some more for this Kerry Martin?
Yeah. One of Bold Venture's motors has reverse gear trouble as soon as it's fixed.
Why don't you go put an arm around Miss Saylor and say, there, there.
I tried it. She didn't even know I was standing beside her.
Oh, she got company now.
Huh? Yeah, I wonder where she found him.
Slate, look who I found.
This is Kerry Martin?
This is Pablo. Tell him, Pablo.
I am Pablo. I find a man. He say the name Kerry Martin belong to him.
Yeah, where'd you find him?
I have a chart of Tortuga's Key. I will put a pencil mark where I find him. It's so small it is.
Okay. Tell me how it happened.
I am Pablo. I am fisher. I take boat to place in Tortuga's where I fish. There is airship on beach, standing on nose.
Kerry must have crash landed. He's all right.
It's not so. He have in him great hurt. Hard to talk. He is too big for small me to carry. Say his name. Say name of Sailor Duval. This name I know because all of Havana know name Sailor Duval. I come.
Why didn't you go to the police?
I am Pablo. Once I talk to police, I am in jail for 2 years after that. I am Pablo who does not talk to police. You go to man in Tortuga's Key, senor?
Yeah, we go.
Hurry, Slate.
Easy, baby. We know where he is now. I'm taking it to him as fast as I know how.
I'm sorry. I just can't.
I know. He needed you once. He needs you again.
Pablo said he was badly hurt.
I'll do what I can, sailor. He'll be all right. He'll see you again, and it'll help make him all right.
Look, Slate, I told you. Harry was just a guy who...
Here, I'll give you a hand aboard.
Thanks. Just a nice guy who wanted to be friends.
Well, tell me about it later. Right now, we got company. You, Anderson, and your friend, off my boat. I won't ask you again.
No, just a minute, Mr. Shannon. This is Matt, one of our employees, and he's at your disposal.
That means I'll help, Mr. Shannon. I and Kerry Martin work for the same company.
If you're so anxious, Anderson, why don't you go hire your own searching party? Leave us alone.
If I did that, the Caribbean would swarm with fortune hunters, their palms itching for all that money. Martin's flight was a secret. And we'd like to keep the finding of him that way, too.
Yeah, I see what you mean. They might kill Martin, take...
Exactly. Matt could be of great help in preventing that. And for nothing.
Well, I could use an extra hand. Okay with you, sailor?
The more the merrier. Let him come, Slate.
Okay, Matt, just take my orders and we'll get along real good.
Gee, thanks. You'll see, Mr. Shannon. I'm gonna help you like anything. The way I do it, you'll never get over it.
Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
How deep now, sailor?
6 feet. Steady. Now 4. Cut the motor, Slate.
Okay.
Payne's just the other side of the cove. I'll go on ahead.
Sure, sailor, I understand.
It's not that. It's just
that... I said I understand. So don't explain it to me. Go on, jump.
I told you before, Slim.
I gave you a chance to hold his hand for a minute alone. You blew it. Get the medicine kit, Matt.
Aye, aye, Skipper. I got it, Skipper.
Hey, I glom on the lingo good, don't I, Mr. Shannon?
You're a good seaman, Matt. Let's go. After you, sailor.
The plane didn't look too banged up. Maybe Carrie's not as badly hurt as that fisherman said.
We'll know in a little while.
And maybe the half million come out of it all right, too. I crossed my fingers.
Huh? What do you say, Matt?
Oh, you know how it is, Mr. Shannon. A guy works for a cannery, tries to think the way he thinks a cannery wants him to think. In my heart, I pray Mr. Martin's in good health. I pray that...
Forget it.
We better run, Mr. Shannon. I wouldn't want to think that I was the...
Just run, and don't drop that kit.
Carrie! Carrie! It's all right. Carrie!
Now, don't call him anymore, sailor, because he's not here.
He has to be. If he was hurt, how could he get away?
Maybe he crawled to the other side of the island, thought he'd find help. Maybe someone picked him up.
And cooked the dough, because that's not here, too.
You know that, because that's the first thing you looked for, wasn't it, Matt? It was a short prayer, huh?
Oh, Skipper, you said yourself you wanted the girl to be alone with him for a minute.
We've got to find him, Slate. He could be dying.
Now, don't cry till you know what for, sailor. Oh, tide washed his footprints away.
It's a small island. We could split up.
Stop picking my brain. We'll split up. You go that way, Matt, the south end of the island.
My favorite direction.
You got a preference, sailor?
East.
That leaves me north. If we don't find him, we meet here. Oh, don't forget the way back, sailor. Martin! Hey, Martin, can you hear me? Martin!
That you, Shannon? You get lost, kid?
Not me. You're supposed to be casing the south end of this island.
Well, I started that way, then I got worried. Maybe you'd find that dough and I'd be far away. Things like that.
That money really bothers you, doesn't it?
Ever since Pop taught me how to beat the pay telephones, he used to bring them home by the dozens.
And you work for a big outfit like Toledo Canneries, huh?
Well, I'll tell you. A guy works for a place, troubleshoots, makes a salary. Gets to sniffing a half million, he gets downright disloyal. I guess I'm what you'd call disgusted.
You trying to sell me something?
You bought it, baby. You're one too many on this island. Look, I take out a knife, then I point knife upward for ripping and rip.
Yeah.
Next time, hold it close to your body.
You're breaking my arm.
Drop it. Drop it. Now, dream about what I told you. I couldn't bother with you, Matt. On second thought, I'll need your shirt to tie you up. And I'll find Carrie.
A guy gets hurt, sailor. He tries to dream his pain away. Let me touch you again.
Don't try to move, Carrie. I'll come closer to you. See? I'm really here.
How did you come? On downy wings?
Slate and I have a boat. A fisherman told us...
Slate?
He's my guardian, Slate Shannon.
There was a shadow in the dream. Now I know his name.
Slate's at the other end of the island looking for you.
May he never find me.
There are three of us. Slate, a man from the company...
Anderson?
Someone named Matt.
Good old Matt. Never heard of him, but good old Matt.
What happened to you, Carrie? What went wrong?
Bandits.
You mean bandits like...
I mean like in the war. They shot holes in my wing. Shot up my rudder. Forced me down. I crash landed. Was very happy till something in my chest told me my chest was caved in.
Why did they do that to you?
Shh, big top secret. $500,000 payroll. But it wasn't a secret.
Gary, all this time with that hurt.
The money, I buried it under the plane. Take it away. Give it to somebody.
Carrie.
Shh. I sleep now. Gotta sleep.
Carrie, it's beginning to rain. We've got to get you.
Martin! Martin!
Over here, Slade. Over here.
How is he, sailor?
He's asleep. We've got to move him, Slade. The rain...
We can't move him. He's hurt too bad. Here, cover him with my coat. These leaves. Now, don't crack up on me, sailor. We'll get help, a doctor. You'll be all right. Okay? Let's go.
Can you lift it, Slate?
Yeah, the box is not that heavy. If you could weave, sailor, you could make us a couple of raincoats. I've never had one made out of $20 bills.
You sure were underprivileged, weren't you?
All the other kids in my block had them. Come on. Let's get the bold venture moving and get some help for Carrie.
What about Matt?
I left him in a hollow. If it rains hard, the hollow's liable to fill up. Maybe he can drink himself out of it. Yeah, give you a hand up.
Okay. Let's take off, Slate. Now what?
I don't know. I'll take a look. Hey, sailor.
What?
Both carburetors gone, probably on the bottom of the ocean. Matt must have done it before he caught up with me.
This is turning out to be a gay afternoon.
Let's get back ashore. Grab that flashlight. It's getting dark. I'll take the money.
Okay. Why didn't you leave the money aboard?
In case we have callers, in case people who don't have...
Wait a minute. Listen. You hear it?
Yeah, sure. It's a plane. Wave the flash. Maybe we'll get home faster than we think.
He sees us. He's landing.
If that guy can handle that ship, look at him.
He'll be able to take Carrie back.
That you, Shannon?
Hey, it's Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, it's me with Miss Duval.
Oh, good.
Start running, sailor.
There he is, Slade.
Martin. Martin, are you awake?
You don't have to talk, Carrie.
That's right. Now, just listen. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good. John Anderson just landed a plane.
He'll help.
No, he won't. If he finds you, he'll kill you.
But Anderson...
Don't talk, Carrie.
We'll explain it to you later. He's looking for all of us. If he comes close to you, don't move. If he calls to you, don't answer. Make out you're dead. Do you understand?
Yes. Understand.
We'll come back for you.
Sure.
I don't worry about anything. It'll be all right. Let's go, sailor.
Where are we going?
Get rid of this money.
We going to bury it?
Uh-huh. We're going to give it away. There's the hollow, sailor.
There's something in it.
That would be Matt. I brought you something, Matt.
Good day.
That's no way to talk. We brought you $500,000.
It's soggy from the rain, Matt, but you won't mind. Your hot breath will dry it out.
Hey.
That's right. Anderson landed a little while ago. This knife says don't answer him. Talk soft.
Anderson made it, huh? You two pigeons are in trouble.
How'd he find this island?
In Havana, when you were getting your boat ready for this haul. You stepped ashore for coffee, remember? That's when we come aboard and nuzzled your charts. Anderson flies a plane accurate. He's got a loud voice, too.
Oh. I don't blame you, Matt. If that knife was sticking me, I'd go, oh, too.
Okay. What's with the money? What are you trying to say?
You want to look at it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
All right. Open it, sailor.
The man on that $20 bill winked at you, Matt.
Oh, pretty.
It's all yours.
What about him?
He'll find you in a few seconds, then you can chat about the money.
Me tied up like this? He'll kill me. I know him. He's double-crossed his company. He'll do it to me.
I'll put this knife in your hands. You can saw your way out.
Matt!
Let's get out of here, Slate.
Yeah.
Matt!
Here I am, Anderson. Got the money right here. Help me get out.
Yeah. In cold blood, Slate.
Shannon! Can you hear me, Shannon?
I'm going to be on your back in a second.
And you'll rot here, Shannon. You and your...
Not me, John boy.
You made a mistake, Slate.
Pardon me.
You won't get out alive.
You betting? Come out from behind that tree, sailor.
I haven't got time to pat your cheek. Let's get help for Carrie.
Sure, with this gun in back of Anderson's head, that plane will get help here in an hour.
I'll say it again, Slate. It's been a gay day.
It's almost over. Let's go take a ride in an airplane.
Slate.
Uh-huh.
Carrie just called me again from the hospital. He says he feels great.
Oh, I'm glad.
He had a message for you. He wanted to know if it was all right for me to have a date with him when he gets well.
What have I got to do with it?
Well, I told him you were, like a daddy to me.
Oh. Sailor.
Uh-huh.
Come here, little girl. Sit on my knee.
Like this?
That's fine.
What do you want, Daddy?
What do little girls do before they run along to play?
This. Do I have to run along and play? I feel so grown up.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not. A house in St. Nicholas, Wales, in which famed Oliver Cromwell spent one night, was so respected by the family of a neighboring castle that for 300 years, each member of the family tipped his hat when passing the structure. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about one of the strangest armies of all time. When Lieutenant Jean Perrier of Estivayer-le-Lac, Switzerland, retired from military service, he took up a strange hobby. The officer was a brilliant tactician and master of military drill. In retirement, Perrier organized a drill team that performed a manual of arms to perfection and crisp, close-order drill. His drill team, however, wasn't composed of men. It was a regiment of frogs, believe it or not.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. His faithful Filipino valet, Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with racketeers and saboteurs, risking his life that criminals and enemy spies will feel the weight of the law by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in the thrilling adventure, The Unexpected Meeting. The Green Hornet strikes again. Now, the Green Hornet.
Oh.
The long, sleek, super-powered car of the dreaded Green Hornet moved through the darkened streets of the sleeping city. Britt Reed, whose identity as the widely sought Hornet was known to no one except his Filipino valet, Cato, who sat beside him in the speeding car, finally spoke impatiently.
Cato, that tip we received on the warehouse robbery seems to have been a deliberate attempt to bring the Hornet into a police trap.
But who you think give tip to Sentinel? No one know Britt Reed connected with Green Hornet?
I'd like to believe that, Cato. Someone did try to pull a fast one. It's a good thing we approached on foot and discovered the police waiting near that warehouse.
It's not good, Mr. Britt.
You can say that again.
We go home now, Mr. Britt?
Yes, Cato, there's nothing more we can do.
Help!
Look, two men attacking other men.
We'd better stop. Come on, Cato.
Help! Let me go! Let me go! Grab that briefcase.
I got it.
No, there you go, you what?
Oh, what the... Holy mackerel, it's a Green Hornet.
I help.
Let up, will you? I'll give you the briefcase.
I'll say you will. Oh. That takes care of those two. This briefcase must be important or they wouldn't have... Where's the victim?
He leave in great hurry. Run around the corner.
Didn't he know we were helping him?
When he hear thief say Green Hornet, he not wait to find out.
In the excitement, I forgot I'm wearing the Hornet disguise. Well, I guess there's nothing more we can do. Take the briefcase with us until we find out whose it is. Come on, Cato.
A short time later, in Britt Reed's apartment.
You find name of owner on papers in briefcase, Mr. Britt?
No, Cato. These seem to be important papers. Notice the sealing wax and ribbons on this one.
Oh, you break seal, perhaps?
No, Cato. I have no doubt these are very important and secret state papers. And the writing on them is all in Spanish.
Spanish?
Yes. And to me that indicates they belong to some South American representative. It's strange there's been no word of the attack over the radio.
Yes, that's true. Especially if man report Green Hornet involved in the... I answer, Mr. Britt. Mr. Reed's apartment.
Cato, let me speak to Reed.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Ashford.
Shooter's me. Who'd you think it was? I'm in a hurry now.
You hold the line. Mr. Reed's right here.
Axford must think you're a mind reader. Hello, Axford. What's all the excitement this time?
Reed, there's something funny going on.
Really? What, for instance?
If I knew what, I wouldn't have to say there was something funny going on.
All right. Get to the point. Why did you call me?
Well, it's like this, Reed. I was down to cops headquarters a while ago. When they brought in two bugs for questioning.
Go on.
As they went down the corridor past the press room door, I heard one of them say, "Get the Hornet. He's the guy you want."
Why were they picked up? What did they do?
That's just it, Reed. I don't know.
Well, find out. You're supposed to be a reporter.
Now, hold on, Reed. I've been trying to find out, but I can't get a word out of the cops. Sergeant Burke just shut up like a clam when I asked him.
Didn't he say anything?
Sure. But all he said was, "There's nothing for the newspapers to know." Now, what do you think of that, Reed?
I don't know what to think of it, Axford. All I can tell you is to keep trying. And if it turns out to be anything important, let me know.
Important, you say? Didn't I just finish telling you I heard one of the bugs mention the Hornet? Anything he's mixed up in is always important.
Yes, of course. Well, stick around headquarters tonight. Maybe they'll open up and give you the story, whatever it is. And if they do, be sure to call me. My curiosity is aroused.
I'm telling you, Reed, ain't that curious? I'm all goosebumps waiting to find out what happened. I'll let you know as soon as I learn something. You can bet on that.
Good, I'll be waiting.
Sergeant Breakdown, sooner or later. Him and me are just like that, you know.
I can guess what you mean.
Oh. You're right, because you can't see me holding my fingers close together. I get that story for you, Reed. So long for now.
Goodbye, Axford.
Axford, find out something, Mr. Britt?
No. He's upset because he can't find out something, Cato.
Oh.
Evidently, the police picked up the two men who were trying to get the briefcase. But strange to say, the police are keeping the whole thing quiet.
Why do you think they do that?
I can only think of one reason why.
Yes?
Whoever lost that briefcase, or the people to whom he was taking it, must be very influential. Also, those papers must be so important that they dare not let it be known they've been lost.
Oh. Then you have possession of something crooks would say is very hot.
Hot is right, Cato. I don't dare return it to the police, since they already know the Hornet was involved.
What you do, Mr. Britt?
Well, I'll hang on to it until tomorrow, anyway. Maybe by that time we'll know more about the whole setup. When I grabbed that briefcase, I grabbed a wildcat by the tail. We're going to have to find some way to let go without being scratched.
Good morning, Casey.
Heavens, Axford, you must have had a bad night. You didn't slam the door when you came in that time.
Well, no, if it's a slamming door you want to hear, I'd go right
oh,
back.
No,
and
no, never mind. Just let it go.
Ha! I called your bluff on that one, Casey. Is he in yet?
Yes, he is. He's been asking for you, too.
Sure, do you think I was the only one working out the daily sentence the way he's always asking where I am?
No. No, Axford, it happens you're the only one who's never working around the daily sentence. That's why Mr. Reed is always asking for it.
Is that so now? Casey, I'll have you know if I was to leave the Sentinel, Reed would go down on bended knees to beg.
Yes, Mr. Reed.
Miss Case, tell Axford I can hear him talking out there. I'm waiting to see him, and if he isn't in here or nothing flat, he's through.
Look at snakes. Who's Casey? And am I coming out here?
Did you hear me, Miss Case?
Yes, sir. Axford's coming right in. Oh, what was that you were saying a moment ago about Mr. Reed going down on his knees?
Casey, 'tis no laughing matter. Do you think Reed's really thinking about letting me go?
Well, why not go in and find out?
Ah! Reed, I just stopped for only a half a minute.
That's one way to get you in here, Axford.
You mean you were kidding?
Oh, you can call it that.
Oh. I knew it all the time, that I did, Rita.
Okay. You knew it all the time. What's new about those two men who mentioned the Hornet?
Not a thing, Reed. There's something mighty funny going on, if you ask me.
That's off the record for some reason, actually. You'd better go back there and keep trying.
Sure, Reed. But I tell you, it's not much use with Sarge pulling that high hat stuff and all. I do my best, though, and try to get him to give me a hint. So long, Reed.
Goodbye, Axford. Yes, Miss Case?
Mr. Reed, there's a gentleman out here to see you.
Oh, I'm pretty busy, Miss Case. Did he give his name?
No, Mr. Reed. I'll find... just a minute. Mr. Reed, very busy. Perhaps if you give your name...
Oh, Miss Case.
Yes, Mr. Reed.
Show the gentleman in. I'll see him.
Yes, sir.
I don't see how he could be connected with that briefcase or why he should come here to me.
Senor, please.
Yes, come right in.
I beg of you, senor, to pardon my seeming rudeness in not sending in my card.
I'm sure you had a good reason. Won't you be seated, Mr.?
Thank you. My name, senor, is Mendoza. My card, senor.
Thank you. Senor Carlos Roberto Mendoza.
Before we go any further, senor, may I request that our conversation be, as you call it, off the record?
Of course.
I'm connected in an official capacity with a South American embassy, senor. I'm here to see you on a very delicate mission.
I'll be glad to hear what you have to say, Mr. Mendoza.
Senor, a certain person suggested that you might be able to be of great assistance to us and indirectly to our respective countries.
In what way, may I ask?
Senor, last night, a special courier left for our consulate for the airport carrying a briefcase in which were sealed papers of extreme importance.
I see.
He left by the rear door and walked through to the next street to hail a taxicab, thinking to throw off anyone who might be watching.
He lost the papers, perhaps?
Exactly, senor. Rather, I should say the briefcase was stolen by a criminal known as the Green Hornet.
You don't say. Are you certain?
Si, senor. Two men attacked our courier. They were joined by the Hornet. Now the man escaped. Then the attackers fought among themselves. The Hornet took the papers and disappeared.
But what of the other two men?
They were caught. They are underworld criminals who were hired by a certain underground agent.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Senorita, those papers are dynamite in the wrong hands. We dare not let it be known that they are lost. We must get them back at any cost.
So?
I was told, or rather advised, to come to you. It is said you have great influence. Enough even to reach into the underworld and get to the Green Hornet.
What gave you that idea, Mr. Mendoza?
All of us hope this is true, senor. We are depending upon you. You are our last resort. Pay the Hornet anything. We will do anything to get those papers back.
But even if I could get those papers from the Hornet, it would have to be on a no-questions-asked basis.
The police would object to that.
The police are tracking down the underground agent for us. I can assure you they will be most discreet in this matter. I can promise questions will not be asked if the papers are returned with the seal unbroken, senor.
Well, I promise nothing, but where will you be at 8 o'clock tonight?
The address is in the corner of my card, that of the consulate, senor. I'll be there with three others. An attaché, a foreign minister, and an American whom we have called in as an advisor.
All right, Mr. Mendoza. I'll see you at the consulate at 8 o'clock tonight.
Why you not bring briefcase, Mr. Britt?
I thought it over, Cato, and decided to hold off a bit. I'll tell them I'm working on it.
Why you do that? If they say no questions be asked?
I'm still curious to know who sent Mendoza to me. And don't forget, someone almost sent us into a trap last night. Wait for me. I won't be long.
In a few minutes, Britt Reed was being announced by the butler to the waiting group.
Senor Britt Reed.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Ah, you have come, Senor Reed, but without the papers. Oh, allow me. I will present you
Britt,
to Senor...
I didn't expect you would bring the papers. Now, discretion, the better part of valor?
Oliver? This is a surprise.
I see you already know Oliver Perry, the famous American detective.
Yes, of course. We've met several times.
But this time may prove a point. Britt, I'm truly disappointed you didn't bring the papers. I know the Hornet is smart. But if they don't show up, I'll know the reason why.
We'll continue our Green Hornet adventure in just a moment. Oliver Perry, a shrewd and nationally famous detective, suspected that Britt Reed and the Green Hornet were one and the same person. Britt was fully aware of these suspicions. He knew that Perry was ready to leap at the slightest relaxation of vigilance.
Oliver, you're delaying introductions. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting these gentlemen.
Sorry. Pardon, Senor Reed. Senor Manuel Calera, Senor Juan Modina, may I present Senor Britt Reed?
How do you do, Senor?
Senor Reed. That briefcase must be found.
This loss is a great calamity, senor.
I'm quite sure Mr. Reed can help you, gentlemen. If he's not afraid of complications.
Do you know of any reason why I should fear complications, Oliver?
Well, you will continue your efforts to contact the Green Hornet and get the papers, senor.
I'll try to get word to him and persuade him to return the briefcase directly to you. I won't act as a go-between.
Aren't you sticking your neck out, Britt?
I'm afraid I do not understand speaking out of the...
Oliver Perry likes to talk to me in a sort of code now and then. It's a habit of his, so you must mind.
Oh, so that is it. Well, senor, we shall wait and hope that you succeed.
That depends on what you call success, Mr. Mendoza. Hey, Oliver?
Oh, our ideas differ on that, I'm afraid.
No doubt. Tell me, Mr. Mendoza... Is the lost briefcase similar to your cases there on the table?
Si, senor. They are all identical. It is the same.
I see. Well, gentlemen, I must run along. Let's hope your papers turn up soon. Coming, Oliver? Dinner at my apartment?
Fine. I'd like that. Let's go, Rick.
Britt Reed and Cato went to their apartment, accompanied by Oliver Perry. Perry sat in the living room, watching every move the other two made. He was determined Britt and Cato would not have a chance to exchange words or signals. Finally, Britt Reed yawned and spoke.
Oh, really, Oliver? I think we should all turn in and get some sleep.
I'd like to stay right here and read most of the night. You don't mind, Britt?
Well, suit yourself. Cato, perhaps if we go to the kitchen, you can fix us a snack.
Well, yes, sir.
I'm not at all hungry. And I'm certain it isn't necessary for both of you to go to the kitchen. Frankly, Britt, I'm making certain you and Cato don't get a chance to exchange words.
So I notice. Cato's so used to be jabbering to me, I believe he's bored.
Well, I managed to survive boredom, Mr. Britt.
Well, I guess I'll phone extra and then call it a day. I'm sure you can't object to my making a phone call to my office, Oliver.
Oh, of course not. Go right ahead.
Kind of you.
Somehow I feel as long as I'm with you, those papers won't be returned.
Oh, you never can tell. I'm sure my underworld contact has gotten through to the Hornet by now.
Did it get so?
Well, this is Mr. Reed. I want to talk to Axford, please.
Just a moment, Mr. Reed. I'll connect you.
Don't forget, I'm listening, Britt.
As if I could.
Hello?
Axford, I've been waiting to hear from you. Are you keeping the news a secret?
Reed, I don't know.
What did you find out about the jury panel in that criminal case? Did you get the list of names?
Reed, what on earth are you talking about? If I didn't know you better, I'd think you...
So that's it, eh? Well, in that case, I'll have to go myself.
Super mistakes. Now you're talking in riddles. Reed, what's
Who did you say?
With?
Oh, that nitwit. Now listen to me. Keep him out of there if you have to use force. Do you understand?
Glory be. Have you gone that, Reed?
Very well. Goodbye, Axford. Well, that's that. I hope he got everything straight.
You not mint words, Mr. Britt. I think it's very clear.
Axford doesn't understand as clearly as you do sometimes, Cato.
Seems to me you keep that poor guy Axford on the jump from the way you talk to him.
He can take it, Oliver. Well, I guess I'll turn in now. How about you, Cato?
Well, I sit up with Mr. Perry, I think.
Before you go, Britt, may I see your bedroom?
My bedroom?
This is the finest apartment I've ever seen. I'd like to see all of it.
Of course. Come along, Oliver. Here you are.
Mighty nice. Good view from the window.
Yes. Here's the bath.
Very nice. What's behind that other door?
Well, that's my clothes closet.
Lots of space here. And a whale of a lot of suits.
Go on in if you like to.
Never saw so many suits.
Mr. Britt, he's very suspicious.
I know it, Cato. I'm getting fed up. I'm going to fix him for keeps. Well, Britt, I guess I've seen everything.
Sorry, I can't show you any more, Oliver.
Well, I'll go back to my reading. Good night.
Good night.
Coming, Cato?
Yes, Mr. Perry.
Cato understood my message. I hope he makes sure Perry stays out of this room.
Britt Reed waited for a short time, then stepping through a secret panel in the rear of the closet in his bedroom, he went along a narrow passageway built within the walls of the apartment itself. This passage led to an adjoining building, which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as the hiding place for the sleek, super-powered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet. Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. The wall in front raised automatically, then closed as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness. Reed stopped in the rear of the consulate. He thought of the daring prank he hoped to play on Oliver Perry.
I have the lost briefcase and the Black Beauty. Now if I can get the other three.
He approached the darkened living room windows. He forced the lock, and in a matter of seconds, he lifted himself over the sill and dropped inside.
I use my flashlight. Yeah, they're still on the table. Oh, that chair. I have to get out of here quick.
Who's in here? Delight, I... Wait, I see you. Hold
on fire. The other briefcase is all gone. That was the Hornet, I know. What is this? Make Perry work for his door. Maybe he can find all four briefcases. See, I must get Senor Perry here at once.
Once more, the powerful, low-slung car sped through the back streets of the city. After entering the consulate, Britt Reed had made another stop at Oliver Perry's suite in the downtown hotel and then phoned the police. Now he pressed the gas pedal almost to the floor in his haste to get back before Perry heard the news and entered his room.
Although I cut the phone light at the consulate, it won't be long before they go outside the phone. I have to get back and be there when Perry opens that door.
Arriving at the hiding place of the Black Beauty, Britt Reed hurriedly put the car away, then ran up the secret stairway, at the same time removing his disguise.
Hope I'm in time. I made it.
That is, unless he already... Just getting the call.
Britt! Britt!
Hey, what's the idea? Waking me up and I just...
I see you're still dressed.
I fell asleep across the bed, I guess. What's up?
I'm not sure yet.
Say, now, after all...
Look, Mendoza just phoned. Jabbered something about a visit from the Hornet. And all the briefcases being stolen.
No. Really?
Come on along and find out.
Cato, bring the sedan around. We might as well drive Oliver wherever he's going.
Yes, sir.
Let's go, Oliver. This is really getting interesting.
The three men left Britt Reed's apartment and were soon speeding toward the consulate. Britt Reed glanced from time to time at Oliver Perry, who sat beside him in the back of the sedan, and he smiled inwardly at the puzzled frown on the detective's face. Meantime, Britt's anonymous phone call had sent the police to Oliver Perry's hotel room. And when a short time later, Britt and Perry entered the living room at the consulate, they found Mendoza talking to Sergeant Burke from police headquarters.
But I do not understand, senor. You say you found all the briefcases together with the secret papers in Perry's rooms.
Yeah. That's a tough one to explain, Mr. Perry. Especially since you've had the whole force upset over this thing, it being so secret and all.
Don't be so obnoxious, Sergeant Burke. It's evident from the note that was left this was the work of the Green Hornet. Mr. Mendoza read the note to me over the phone.
So the Hornet put one over on you, eh, Oliver?
Senor Perry, we are grateful to have the briefcases back. We will not bring charges against you.
What's that? Charges against me?
By golly, Perry, maybe you are uncouth.
That's preposterous.
By golly,
it's ridiculous. How dare you insinuate?
It is all right, senor.
Maybe the D.A.
Just a minute. I must come to the defense of my friend. You may take my word for it. He and the Green Hornet would never be friendly enough to make a deal.
Of course not.
Furthermore, he has a perfect alibi for every minute since early today. You see, he was with me all the time.
That's the truth, and I can prove it.
You won't have to, Perry. The sergeant will take my word for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess Perry's in the clear, if you say so, Mr. Reed.
I'll go as far as the street with you, Perry. Goodbye, Senor Mendoza.
Goodbye, and thank you.
I'm still not satisfied about you, Reed, and the Green Hornet. I've got something
to say. Perry, I have something to say to you. This is the second time I've taken you out of hot water.
I know.
I want you to know something else. I'm fed up with your suspicions. At first, it was funny when you tossed off lines with a double meaning to let me know that you suspected me of being the Green Hornet. Well, it's no longer funny to me.
Now, see here, Reed.
You posed as my friend. You've snooped into my private life. You've made public remarks that I don't like, and I've had enough. From now on, Perry, keep out of my hair.
All right. If that's the way you want it.
It is. Definitely.
Someday, Reed, I'll get that dirty Green Hornet. He's not only notorious as a criminal, but he's also a man entirely without principle of any kind.
Well, Perry, when it comes to a matter of principle, if I had to choose between the Green Hornet and you, I'd take the Green Hornet every time. So you're determined to get the Hornet, eh? Well, from now on, don't ever count on me for any help. So long, Perry.
Read all about it! Read on it! Still it! Set the match, please! Press the bell!
That's it for the show this week. Hope you enjoyed these episodes. If you want to hear more from Bold Venture, visit relicradio.com. You can search for it right on the front page. Or anything else you're looking for. There's also links there to our forum, Facebook page, Shoutcast stream, all the other shows, and our donate button if you'd like to help support it all. I certainly appreciate it if you're able to help. Thank you very much to those who have. Thank you for joining me today. Be back next week with another hour of old-time radio on the Relic Radio Show. The Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.